Okay, so what we're going to do today is a concept in Chassidus about Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos, as it does this year. There's a lot in Chassidus about Yontif and Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos. But in 1989, the Rebbe spoke a sicha and gave a whole new depth to the thing, which was absolutely amazing. Very, very deep sicha, very deep idea. And I hope I'm going to be able to communicate it properly. All right, we'll see how we go. No, I was living here really. But the Rebbe later, he spoke about it on a Shabbos. I was here. I was there later that Tishrei actually. But then he edited. So in those years, he used to edit a lot of the sichas that he spoke on Shabbos. So he edited that sicha. And then it became quite a famous thing. So we learn about Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, a concept that's spoken about in Chassidus, but then a whole new depth that the Rebbe gives it. Okay. So, we're not going to do the whole thing inside because it's very long, but we're just going to do the first part inside. So, he starts off with the regular concept. It's like this. B'nogeh l'yontif shel Rosh Hashanah shaliyos b'Shabbos. With regard to yontif of Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, ke'akfiyos Rosh Hashanah bo leinu l'toiva, like the kfiyos on Rosh Hashanah, which this year, Shemiz Baruch Shabbos, meaning in that year, 1989, also, the upcoming Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, which is why I spoke this, that the Mishnah says, Shebemigdosh hoyu toikin, that in the Beis HaMikdosh they would blow shofar, avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Even at the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, they wouldn't blow, they would only blow in the Beis HaMikdosh, but not outside the Beis HaMikdosh, right? So Yadua HaKushya, it's known, the well-known question, how is it possible just to push away a positive commandment of blowing shofar on Shabbos? How come we don't blow it, right? Now, let me just, because it doesn't give the halachic angle yet, let me just create a context of it. It's a Gemara. The Gemara explains why. The Gemara says that when Yontif falls on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara discusses why we don't blow shofar. The discussion of the Gemara, the bottom line is that Hakol Chayovin B'tkiya Shofar, everyone is Chayev to hear Shofar. Not everyone, however, knows how to blow Shofar, it's complicated. So therefore, we are worried that someone will take a Shofar, he's not sure exactly what to do, he's at home maybe, he's stuck at home, he couldn't go to shul, whatever the case is, and he's not exactly sure how to blow it, so he might go to the Rav, to the expert, to ask him how to blow. How long does the T'kiya have to be, how long does the Shofarim have to be? And so on. What's going to happen is going to end up carrying the shofar in the street on Shabbos. He'll transgress Shabbos. Okay. Now the obvious question, halachically, just to give the background to this, is how can the Chachamim do this? Is that something the rabbis could just do? The answer is yes. They have a mandate. They cannot. There's certain things the rabbis could do. There's certain things they can't do. Just halachically, it's a whole other topic. But no, 1 second. No. I have one. Here we are. But the way it works is that the rabbis cannot cancel a lois aseh. For example, they cannot say that on a particular day you should eat treif. That's not in with their mandate. They can't say we should do an avera. But they do have it within their mandate in terms of protecting the laws of the Torah. That sometimes to protect the laws of the Torah, they can put a fence, a halachic fence, in front of a mitzvah so you can't get to it. So I'm just saying, just to say, understand how the mechanism works, right? So they could say that it's Shabbos, we worry people are going to carry, that's a transgression of Shabbos, which is a very serious avera, and therefore we are putting a halachic fence before the shofar, so you can't get there. In other words, we don't say you can't blow shofar, because it's a gzeira, it's a decree that you might come to carry, which their mandate is to give such decrees as protection laws for the Torah, and therefore you won't be able to halachically get to the shofar, and that's within their mandate. Okay. However, that's not the question Chassidus asks. That's a halachic question. Chassidus asks a different question. On a Chassidus level, on a spiritual level, how could such a thing happen? Such an important mitzvah like a shofar, right? which we'll talk about why it's so important in a second, that should be pushed away because of a kind of halachic reason which appears weak. I mean, you're talking about one guy, he doesn't know how to blow. First of all, most people go to shul. Second of all, most people, if they know Rosh Hashanah is coming, they'll practice. I don't know. I mean, like, because of the one guy that's going to carry the shofar, we have the whole Klal Yisrael not listening to shofar, right?
Okay.
And he expands down on the question. He says like this: Tkiyah shofar in the second paragraph. Tkiyah shofar inyan ikri Rosh Hashanah. Tkiyah shofar is a very fundamental concept on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Gemara says mitzvahs hayoyim b'shofar. The mitzvah of the day is shofar. If you wanted to pick one mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, you say, what is the mitzvah of the day, shofar? You want to pick the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, it's tshuva. Right? So each yontif has its mitzvah, so to speak. Right? So the mitzvah of the day is Rosh Hashanah. The Tama Dovra, and the reason for this is, the fish in Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, because the whole concept of Rosh Hashanah, who achtaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemelech, is to crown Hashem as king. Kedei Issa b'gemora, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru l'fanai b'Rosh Hashanah, Malchiz Hashem said that, say before me on Rosh Hashanah, Psukim, verses of kingship, Kadesh Tam Nichuni Aleichem, that I should become your king. The Achtoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, how do we crown the king Lemelech? Nasal Deh HaShofar. It's through the shofar, because the Gemara says there's three brachas, right? Malchio is Zichroinois and Shofar. There's three main brachas of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. The one is called kingship, one is called remembrance, and one is called shofar. And each one we say psukim on the theme. And the Gemara says, why? Because Hashem told us, say before me psukim of Malchus to crown me, to make me a king over you. Do it, say psukim of remembrance, I should remember you for the good. And how does this all happen? Through shofar. Right? Like Rav Sadia Goin wrote, Rav Sadia Goin wrote 10 reasons of shofar. She said, she'echod ha'taymim d'tkiya shofar. One of the reasons for tkiya shofar, who lefi she'kein oisin ha'melochim b'tchilas malchusam, because that's what they used to do with kings at the beginning of their kingship, she'toykin lifneim b'chatzoytreis. They would blow trumpets, ubakernes, and horns, laidia, ulashmiya, b'chol mokim, ascholas malchusam, to make it known that this king is a new king, and he's being crowned as a king, and he's the ultimate authority, and so on. So that's all. So we need to blow shofar. Now, just to deepen this, he doesn't go into the whole elaboration here, but according to Chassidus, according to Kabbalah, what happens is that every Rosh Hashanah, before Shkia, Hashem withdraws his malchus from the world. He loses interest, so to speak. He's not interested in being a king anymore. And it's up to us to crown him once again as a king. We have to bring out the rotzen, the desire to be our king. To be our king, and through being our king, the king of the universe, right? In fact, as a whole, there's a question, how does the world exist from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah until we blow shofar and to the tefillahs? So it's a very weak existence. It's called chitoynis rotzen. He keeps it going to see what's going to happen. But he hasn't a rotzen. Normally Hashem wants to be the king of the world. He wants to be the king. He's there with his full desire and tainug and pleasure and so on, but Rosh Hashanah he loses it. It withdraws. Sorry?
Why?
After Elul, because he wants to give us the opportunity to do it. He wants us to crown him as king.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah. In other words, when Hashem created the world, it says clearly that Hashem created Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon crowned Hashem as king, but there the Bria, the creation, took place, ki chafetz chesed. It was a kindness, act of kindness, came from above. However, ever since then, since every Rosh Hashanah there's a new life force that comes into the world, everything is renewed, right? So it has to be, we have to do it. That's why we have Elul, so we should be able to do it. Because we have Elul, we should be able to reflect and have an awakening of tshuva and a yearning for Hashem, that we should be able to commit ourselves to Rosh Hashanah and make him the king. But it has to be us. That's the way the whole intention of the world is like that. We should do it. Right? Okay.
But it's a different
thing
that's never been before that we
break. Sorry? Yeah, correct. We make Hashem king again, but on a deeper level. So as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, it's an Or Chodosh, it's a new light that was never ever here in the whole creation. Every Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Correct.
New but not deeper, or new but deeper?
New and deeper. Whatever the word deeper means, that's in a separate discussion, but it's a new level, I guess.
It's an emanation that's never been.
Yeah. Okay. So therefore, Pizeh, then according to that, it's a real question. How can it be a Rosh Hashanah tamlichun yaleichem b'me b'shofar loitki shofar? How can this all happen without shofar? The whole thing happens through shofar. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. We've got a crown Hashem as king. And the Gemara says, how does it all happen with shofar? And suddenly it happens without shofar. How can that be? How can the crowning of Hashem as king happen without tkiyas shofar, without blowing a shofar? How can that be? Right? So he says, "Mavur bazeh bedrushei chassidus," and it explains in chassidus many places in chassidus. Just to give you a background to this, that we understand that the Torah operates on many levels. So when there's a halachic reason for something, it's not the only reason. It's the reason on the level of, in the world of halacha, but it's a consequence, or it's being backed up by reasons on other levels. So the bottom line is, we have to look for deeper reasons. So we always need the halachic reason, because the way we live our life is al pi halacha. That's how we conduct ourselves. Right? Everything we can't say, well, there's a spiritual reason, so we'll do something else. No, halacha is what dictates our life. Right? So sometimes, however, there are deeper reasons, other reasons, Kabbalistic reasons, reasons I'll be according to the Pnimius HaTorah, the inner part of Torah, which then expresses itself in a halachic reason. But it makes it easy to understand the deeper reasons, because when you do, then you understand that even though the halachic reason doesn't seem that strong, it doesn't warrant cancelling the whole mitzvah, so to speak, but it's not the only reason, it's backed up by the other reason, the deeper reasons. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just give you a quick example of this, right? So for example, the fact that we still keep 2 days Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. Right? It's all because they used to do a tradition, and it's actually a very strange reason, because it's a halachic reason. Minhag Avoseinu B'Yedeinu is halachic criteria. All those things, all halachic terminology. But second day Yontif has huge consequences. It means we don't put on tefillin, we change our davening, we make extra brachas. These are huge halachic consequences, right? Which it's all within the mandate of the rabbis to do, but why? Like, you know what I'm saying? We have a calendar day, we can look on the iPhone, we know when Yontif is, it's not a problem, right? And the reason is because according to the inner part of Torah, you need a 2-day Yontif in Chutz La'aretz, because the Gilui, the revelation, ever since, when there was a lower, the descending of the generations around the second Bais HaMikdash, whatever it was, the Gilui, the revelation of the Yontif that comes with every Yontif takes 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, but it takes 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. It takes 2 days to absorb the massive Gilui, the massive revelation of the Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. It takes 2 days. And that's why it expressed itself in a halachic reason why we still keep 2 days, because we need the 2 days, spiritually speaking, to take to the Yontif. Then, of course, there's reason that we have to understand why in Eretz Yisrael I need 2 days on Rosh Hashanah, why in Yom Kippur no one needs 2 days. Okay, that's for another time. But right? No, but that's all explained. It's all fits. Right? But okay. So what does it say about Shofar? So Mavur Zeh Bedrushei Chassidus. So it explains Chassidus like this. Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. That when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Hachtaras HaMelech, the crowning of the king, Mitzad Inyonu Shel Shabbos, that comes from Shabbos, L'loy Tzoyrech B'Pa'ula D'Tkiyah Shofar, doesn't need the Shofar. It happens through Shabbos. Why? Ki Hachtaras HaMelech, Ki Alidei Zeh Shema'oyrim Sarotzen L'Melucha, I'll explain this briefly because I want to go to the chiddush of this talk, right? Not the normal explanation. So how do we do it? We say like this. When Hashem withdraws his will to be a melucha, right? So people operate on different levels. I always give this analogy. Let's say I'm building a shelf, right? I really want a bookshelf, so I'm building a shelf. Then I'm getting tired, so I stop, right? And I withdraw from building the bookshelf. So it could be I'm just withdrawing temporarily, but it's only I'm still building the bookshelf in my heart. I'm still passionate about it. I'm still excited about it. I still think it's important in my brain. I'm just not doing it in action, so I've withdrawn it from the level of action, right? However, when Hashem stops being king, the Malchus doesn't go away from the world just on an operational level. It goes back to the very deepest. In other words, he has no passion, no desire, no rationale, no tainu. The deepest part of the person is what we call rotzen and tainu, desire and pleasure. Right? Ultimately, the way we behave is because of the way we want to behave. Why do we want to behave in a certain way? Because that's who we are. In other words, that's our pleasure. That's what gives us, right? We do what we want to do. We don't want to do what one of us do. What gives us pain, we don't do. What gives us pleasure, we do do. Tainug is a very deep, it's the deepest, actually, part of the person, right? If someone has no tainug in something, it's very difficult to get them to do it. Unless you force them to do it, right? Ta'anug, like oneg, right? So Rosh Hashanah, when we say we have to bring down the concept of Hashem's malchus, we have to bring down the deepest part of Hashem, which means it's the tainu. We have to awaken not just the mechanism of being a melech, like he should. He's not interested on any level. So you have to go to the very deepest level of godliness, in the level that we call tainug, the level of oinig, level of pleasure, and arouse that pleasure and will to be a king. But if you want to even consider it, then we have a whole 10 days to actually bring it down, one level, next level, next level, until Yom Kippur, where we've built the whole structure of Malchus. But Rosh Hashanah, what we do is actually we just spark the will to be a king. Right? To even consider it. To say, okay, maybe attack I want to do. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. Right?
Why is it so hard?
Why is it so hard?
Because
otherwise there would be no point to the creation. Because the whole point of creation is that Hashem wanted a dwelling place down here below, but not just to be here, to force his way, and he wanted us to invite him here. So everything happens like a Nidjkar. We have to create it, right? Yeah, so we talk about it as a sphere, it's the lowest sphere, but it has the highest source.
No, the question
gets,
I didn't hear this.
What was the question, sorry?
Yeah, no, that's. No, I didn't hear
the. No, the question was that the Malchus is a sphere, one of the 10 spheres. Yes. But I think what he's asking is on the 10 spheres, actually the lowest rung, right?
Yes.
Because Malchus as a sphere relates to operational kingship, the king as he's doing it, as he's being king. But that's not where it goes in Rosh Hashanah. It goes much deeper because the origin of Melech, the origin of leadership is very deep. It's not for now, but the in Chassidus says that Malchus is the last sphere that's got the deepest origin, deepest source. Okay? It's like the feminine. That's why Mashiach comes, the source will be revealed. That's what it says, the female will surround the male when Mashiach comes, right? Because we know that now masculinity is giving and feminine is receiving, but the power to receive and then to process and give, and to give birth, has the highest source. First, not for now, it's a different shiur. But we're not talking about Malchus, one of the spheres, we're talking about Malchus in its deepest origin, in the level of Oineg. Right? To do that, we have to cry out from our deepest level, which is the Shofar.
So,
right?
Sorry, I've lost you now. Are you saying that we do blow the Shofar?
No, normally how it works.
No, but if it's on a Shofar.
No, we don't blow. So we say we don't blow.
Is the reason because you shouldn't blow it, or because you can't carry it?
No, the reason is you might. That's the halachic reason is you might come to carry.
So you couldn't bring it the day before.
You could, but we worry that's not going to happen. And you might carry it, so it's a decree from the rabbis. But we're asking, but then we're missing out on the whole thing. So how does it happen? The answer is like this: how does it normally happen? Because we've got to bring out this deepest desire from Hashem to be the king, and therefore we do it through calling out from the deepest of our neshama, the level of tainug in our neshama, which is the cry of the shofar coming in the very deepest part, and that calls out in the deepest part of Hashem, so to speak, to reignite the will and the desire to be king. Right? Now, when Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, so let's say, V'kiv and Shubi Yoyim HaShabbos, since on Shabbos, Nimshach v'nizgaleh ha-tainug eli mitzad atzmoi, what is Shabbos? Shabbos itself is a revelation of this concept of tainug. We know the whole idea of Shabbos is supposed to enjoy Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos represents this idea of Oineg. Shabbos already, there's a revelation of Hashem from this deep level of Oineg. Because Shabbos is the idea of Tanu. We talk about Oineg Shabbos, right? The pleasure of Shabbos. Shabbos is the whole idea. So therefore, when Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah, ain't soirech bepulasim shel Yisrael al ideh tkiyah shofar. You don't need the shofar to ignite the Tanu, because Shabbos itself is the concept of Tanu. Lashon Chazal, Shabbos makatsha v'kaima. Shabbos is holy on its own. Shabbos does it on itself, so to speak. Okay. Good. Question. Okay, so we don't need the shofar so much. Therefore, Shabbos will do what the shofar does.
So then why do we need, after renewing the contract every week then?
No. Very good. So what happens is, every Shabbos is the idea of Oineg. When Shabbos comes with Rosh Hashanah, the way it works is that the Rosh Hashanah strengthens the Shabbos, and the Shabbos strengthens the Rosh Hashanah. So the level of Oynig of Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah is different types. You can't do it. So it does much more than a regular Shabbos does, but it does it because it's Shabbos. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's because the combination of Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah creates this stronger level of Oynig, which is not normally on the Shabbos. Okay. The question I have is, we're just finishing up what it normally says in Chassidus, right, before we go to the question that the Rebbe asks. So the question is, so then I'll sense outside, why then did they blow on the Beis HaMikdash? Right? If you don't need the shofar on Shabbos, how come the Beis HaMikdash was around? In the Beis HaMikdash, they did blow the shofar. Right? So the halachic reason for that is, again, we have to see the halachic reason and see the deep reason. The halachic reason is because in the shofar, in the Beis Hamikdash, you're not worried they're going to carry it because it was the Sanhedrin, there was proper supervision there, and no one's going to carry a shofar. Okay. What does it mean, however, in Chassidus? It means because in this level of oineg, and this is definitely not for now, but in the level of oineg, there are different levels of oineg. In the Beis Hamikdash was so holy, so they were able to bring down a much greater level of oineg, which Shabbos can't do. So the level of oineg that we can do around the world, that Shabbos can do on its own. Beis Hamikdash Shabbos wouldn't be enough to do bring such a level, but so the Beis Hamikdash is able to bring that, and therefore you blow shofar in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. All right? Okay. Go to the next page.
This is the easy part.
That was the easy part, yeah, exactly. So in 1989, the Rebbe said a talk, and he threw a spanner in the wheels. This was the explanation we always knew from Chassidus, which is still true. It's still there, of course. But the Rebbe says, "Avladayim doyrish bir v'hesber." It still needs an explanation. It's not answered. The question is not answered. Imagine that. Since the Alter Rebbe on, we've been learning this thing. And now the Rebbe comes and he says, every generation reveals new parts of Torah. So the Rebbe came, the Rebbe has many times that he reveals new depths in Chassidus. Amazing. But you normally have to know what it says in Chassidus first, but right? So he says, there's a key point missing to this whole formula. We said before that the whole point of this exercise in Rosh Hashanah is because Hashem wants us to make him the Melech. He wants us to make him the king. Right? Now, how does it work normally? What does it mean? How do we do it? We don't just take a horn and blow it, right? One of the great themes of Rosh Hashanah, which is expressed in the Shofar, is our bittul, our complete given over to the king, right? Now again, you see, Chassidus uses the mashal of a king all the time. We just have to understand the king, right? The king concept. We're not used to king ideas today, but this is the whole mashal. I don't know if I've ever told you this. There was a chassid. I heard this from my father-in-law many times. I've got the name of the chassid. In Lubavitch, there was a big chassid. That in 1917, when there was a Russian revolution and they dethroned the Tsar. They kicked him out, right? And communism took over, but there used to be a Tsar till then. So there was a chassid, and he heard the news that the Tsar had been demoted, had been chucked out. He cried. So that's why he's crying. He was such a good guy, the Tsar. So he says, because there's a mashal in Chassidus that had now stopped. The mashal in Chassidus ended. The mashal in Chassidus keeps on being a mashal from a king. The Tsar was like a king, a bad king, but like a king. And now the mashal in Chassidus is no longer there, so he was crying because how's he going to understand the Chassidus the same way? Anyways, okay. So we just learn from history of kings. Okay, so king doesn't want to be king, right? But the nation wants him to be king. So imagine that, right? So how does it happen? The way you ignite the desire for the king to become king, don't forget, for the king to relate to the nation is a little bit of a descent for him. In a way, the king is better off himself in his own world, in his own lofty, intelligent, transcendent world. Why does he have to deal with the nation? When he sees the nation is completely given over to him, right? The idea of bittul, they're completely ready to give themselves over to whatever he's going to tell them to do. And they come and they say, we are yours, we're totally yours, we will be totally yours, which is really what the shofar is. It's a cry to Hashem from the very depths of our neshama, not just that we're going to be yours operationally. Not like a teenager that cleans up the room and doesn't want to do it, but they do it anyways because the father said it. No, we're going to be yours on all levels. We're giving ourselves over. That's what shofar is. We're giving ourselves over to you on every level, down to the deepest level of our being, right? That ignites in the king. Says, oh, the king says, that's the case. I'm ready to become king. So that's an avodah. That's a real, not just blowing the horn, it's a real service. It's a real thing that comes from us, right? And it symbolizes the fact that we blow the shofar, right? The mitzvah of blowing shofar. Because the whole concept is that we have to do it. That's why Hashem withdraws in the first place. Because he wants us, our avodah, our service to crown him as king. So if that's the case, it's all very nice to say that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't need shofar because Shabbos accomplishes what shofar does, but Shabbos accomplishes on its own. That's the whole idea. That's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is holy every week whether we make a Shabbos or not. That's the concept of Shabbos. So it's all very nice to say the concept of shofar is taking place, but the main part is missing. We didn't do it. Right? Understand the question? Where's the us part in that? Where's the we doing it there? It's not good to say Shabbos is doing it. That's missing the point. We have to do it. Everything. Everything is contingent on this world. We in the sun, you know the sun, the tefillah of the sun of Toikov? Right? Famous in the sun of Toikov? What do we say in the beginning? About Shofar, God will you talk at the night. We describe the higher worlds. Malachim yechofezu, and the malachim are scurrying around. The whole world is trembling. The malachim are trembling. They're waiting for us. Right? Waiting for us.
So if Shabbos does it, we aren't.
If Shabbos is doing it, but then it's missing the whole point of Shofar. The Shofar is that we do it. Shofar represents the fact that we are becoming bottle. We're giving ourselves over to Hashem. And therefore we're igniting the oinah, the tainug of Hashem to be the king. Shabbos brings the idea of tainug on its own, but then the whole... So we don't need Shofar, understand? It does what Shofar does, but that's not good. Because we need to do it. Okay, so let's go. If you look at the second page that I give you, go to the first column, the right-hand column, right all the way at the bottom of Yesh Leimer. We'll just do one little part inside, and I'm going to explain what the Rebbe says. It's the most... So, as I said, it's a very deep idea. I hope I'll be able to give it up. Okay. V'yesh Leimer, says the Rebbe. Shegam ze she'ein toikin b'shoifer, hu chelek miklolus avoided et kiyoshoifer. Not blowing shofar in itself is avoida, which he's going to explain. It's not that we don't do anything on this Rosh Hashanah. We do something. It's called not blowing shofar. But we have to understand what that means. So what is it like? Yeah, okay. Hainu, she'ein hakavonah sh'Rosh Hashanah shechal b'Shabbos lakiyem s'avoida kiyoshoifer. It doesn't mean that when Rosh Hashanah falls on shofar, there's no avoida, there's no service of kiyoshoifer. Ki'im sh'avoida kiyoshoifer b'oifun shel shlila. There is a service of blowing shofar. It's called not blowing shofar. Now, she'ain't taken a shofar. Not only that, ela sheba avoida zu yesh ilui legabe avoida the kishuk b'mam shel chal yesh b'Rosh Hashanah. In other words, not only that, but it's actually a higher service. We'll see that the not blowing shofar is higher than the blowing shofar. Okay? Because he says in brackets, he says, it's impossible to say that because Shabbos coincided with Rosh Hashanah, suddenly Rosh Hashanah became lower. No, you've got to say Rosh Hashanah became higher, not lower. And since the central theme to Rosh Hashanah is that we need to do it, it's our avodah, our service, our work. So therefore we must say that there's still work. The work is not to blow shofar, and that's higher than blowing shofar. I'll just give you a sneak preview. We're going to talk about three levels, actually. First, about talk, the first two. Actually, we're going to talk about what does it mean to blow shofar? What does it mean not to blow shofar? And then what does it mean even higher to yes blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, okay, you ready? I'll do the rest outside, otherwise we'll, anyways. Okay. So, I think we need to build this up slowly. Chassidus, in general, places huge emphasis on the concept called bittul. Right? You've heard this term before, right? Bittul. I don't know, it's hard to translate. Self-nullification, self-negation. Surrender, however you want to translate. Okay. Now, it's not just, bittul, where it says in Chassidus, is not just that we surrender to something else. It's more complete self-negation, because the way it talks about bittul in Chassidus, it's connected to a different theme called Achdus Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, where we read in the Chumash that Hashem says, you need to know, Atarei Saladas, that's a few parshas ago, Hashem Elokim, God is God, and the heavens above, and the Lord there. Ein oid milvado, nothing else besides Him. Not that there's no other God besides Him, there's nothing else besides Him. Now, what does that mean? So, obviously, there's a world. How do we know there's a world? Maybe it's just an imaginary thing. Because it says in the Torah there's a world. Right? It's a fact, it's a Torah fact that there's a world. Right? Huh? Why? Because you see a world? No, that's not a proof there's a world. Maybe it's an illusion. Maybe you think there's a world, it's not really a world. But the world it's a famous theological thing in Chassidus, right? Because you talk about how the world is completely bottled to Hashem, does that mean the world doesn't exist? So of course the world does exist, right? The very fact that Torah says you must take a piece of parchment, you must make it into mezuzah, and that's a mitzvah, means there's a parchment and there's ink and all these things exist, right? Yeah? So what does it mean, bittul ha'olam? That's what we say the world is bottle. What do we mean? There's nothing else besides Hashem. That's a very, very long topic that we'll learn in the second part of Tanya. But it means that the world has absolutely no independent existence. In other words, the world as we see it doesn't exist. What does it mean? The world that we see it as a yesh, in other words, as something that exists as an independent thing, that seems to be an independent creation, that's not true. The world exists, but the world exists as a part of Hashem's reality. Okay? To give you just a quick example for this, so you understand it. A stone, right? Can a stone fly? No. You take a throne and you throw it up. Is the stone flying? It is.
You made it.
Oh. But what's happening to it? Is it moving?
Okay, the movement, right?
Oh. Yes. Is it moving? So the stone is flying, but it's not a flying stone. Mm-hmm. Correct? Because its whole flying is an expression of the force that I put into it. Correct? The world's the same way. Does the world exist? Yes. Is it in existence? No. It's an expression of Hashem. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe brings it at length, that everything has a spark of Hashem that keeps it alive. If Hashem were to remove it, it would return to absolute nothingness. Meaning the whole existence of the table is really just the spark of Hashem. Go on.
Man lives in this world, and isn't he also part of the oneness and separate?
No, we're not separate at all. We feel separate.
No, but don't we have a uniqueness? Aren't I?
Different to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that difference is also Hashem. Hashem expressed himself differently in you. He expressed it in you. Right? Yeah. Now, this idea. So, I mean, I have to bring this in because otherwise we'll understand what we're going to read. The idea of bittul, by the way, is have many, many, many levels to it, right? So to give you an example, we know one of them know that, for example, one of the highest levels of bittul anyone ever reached was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, towards the end of his life, he said, I'm completely one with Hashem, and anosi mona ba'alma, I'm just a code for Hashem, that's all. He said that not because we say it, like we can also say it, but he reached that level, okay? Now, that's why a big emphasis of Chassidus is the idea of bittul ha'olam. Chassidim would laugh at world. They would, and worldliness. Because why? Not because world isn't important. World is very important in order to make a dwelling place for Hashem. We have to have a world. But the worldliness, in other words, the separateness in the world, the world that, you know, the world is as such a big entity, as an independent entity, that we have to take away. That's what would have to be mevatel. We have to negate that. That's why there was such an emphasis on bittul. We have to become bottle. We have to become nothing. Not because nothing means that we're... In other words, the yeshus, the independence that we think we have, that's what we have to destroy. That's why surrender is such a big thing in Chassidus. Complete surrender, complete bittul, complete self-negation, which then leads to a revelation of, but my talents and my skills and my thing are necessary. Why? In order to serve Hashem. I'll tell you a different way a little bit. It's a male example, okay, but I'll use a female example. You there's a mitzvah to light candles on Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, right? So how do you light candles? You take a match with your hand, make a bracha, you light the candle, right? So what's the pshat? One way to look at it is that your hand is a hand, right? This is a spoken that hours and hours at Fabrengens in yeshivas and things like that, right? So you have a hand. So your hand is a hand. It's a hand. It's a race. It does lots of things. It eats. It's a hand. It's a human being. Shem is boss on the world. So he told you have to do a mitzvah with this hand. So your hand does a mitzvah. Or you can look at it completely differently. Now, that's obviously how we feel. We normally feel a hand because we have a hand. But actually, in truth, it's the other way around. Truth, your hand's not a hand altogether. What is your hand? Your hand is the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. Your whole hand is just there to light Shabbos candles. You know? Because it's the Ratzon Hashem. The whole mitzvah, the whole entity of the hand is there to do a mitzvah, to connect to Hashem. Okay. Anyway, that's just a little bit of introduction. Now, there's many, many levels upon levels about surrendering and deepening and so on again. Why does Chassidus discuss all these deep levels? None of us actually really reach those levels. I mean, maybe we have bittul that we force ourselves to go and do things we don't want to do. Okay, so surrender to Hashem. So it's like everything in Chassidus. We talk about things the way they are in its highest forms. We talk about even very deep levels even though we're not even shaykh to do, in order that we should make a dent, we should have the mindset. So it's hard for any of us to be really bittul, to really do bittul. But we can, through learning and lots of learning and thinking, we can have a mindset of bittul. In fact, we'd have even a mindset of the greatest bittul, which would then change how we do things, right? To give you an example, so, like, there was a chassid of the Alt Rebbe, a famous chassid, right? Famous story about a chassid of the Alt Rebbe that he was a very big scholar and he was a spiritual person. He was a very lofty sort of individual. One time the Alt Rebbe called him and he said to him, I think your job, and he used to teach Torah, really. Alt Rebbe said, from now on, your job is to be a wagon driver. And it was shattering, right? And he did it. It's a whole story. He did it. He couldn't do it. He didn't know what to do. He had to go hang around with the wagon driver that showed him how to grease the wheels. You know? And then when he had time, he would learn, he would daven. And the whole story was that one time there was an hotel and there was another person there and he davened and he was crying. They made him a Baal Tshuva. Okay. And he came back to the Alter Rebbe. And by that time, the Mittler Rebbe was already Rebbe. And the Mittler Rebbe called him and said, my father told me that when this happens, I should tell you that your job as a wagon driver is now over, right? But what made the Chassid listen? Was he at the level of the bittul of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? No, probably not. But he had the mindset of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Yeah. Did he want to become a wagon driver? Probably not. But his mindset was like complete bittul. The Rebbe said, wagon driver? Wagon driver. Made no sense. It's not something he wanted to do. But he doesn't exist. That is, he feels he doesn't exist? No, of course not. But he had that mindset, right? That's why we talk about his levels of bittul, which I think is a good introduction to what we're about to explain. Okay. So there's three levels of bittul that he talks about in the Sikha. One level of bittul is, we're talking about now like a king, right? Okay. One level of bittul is that the subject bows down to, he does something to show he surrendered to the king. Right? So that's bittul. Person is standing. He's by the king. The king is passing by, whatever. Right? And he knows he wants to give himself over to the king, so he bows down. So we have this idea, he bows also, right? We have koyrim, we bow down, yimshoshon, yimkipon. In other words, it's a pa'ula of bittul. It's an action of bittul. However, that's not the ultimate bittul. Why? Because an action of bittul means that there's someone to become bittul. So there's an I, and the I is exercising bittul. That means there's an I, right? Yeah? The Gemara says that someone who stands in front of a king, and it's relation to Shmoneh Esrei, we daven Amidah, you're supposed to be completely staying still and silent, right? Why? Because the Gemara says the man, someone who stands in front of, he's like his face, that comes face to face to the king. King calls him for an audience and his mom is talking to him face to face. If he does anything, any action, it's a sign of rebellion. He says, man de moche kamamalke, if he just winks to a friend. Didn't do an act of rebellion, but if he's mamish in the presence of the king, that's an act of rebellion, really. Right? What's pshat? Because when he's mamish not in the presence of the king, he feels the presence of the king, let's say, he does actions of surrender to the king. But okay, that makes sense. But when you're in front of the king, right, you're so insignificant, the king is the main thing, that even if you do something that shows your bittul, it's no good. Because who, you don't count altogether as a separate entity. Standing in front of the king, just the king. The king tells you what to do. The king instructs you. Any expression of self at that level is a problem. Even an expression of bittul.
So
We'll get to Etzim in a second. Hold on a second. See what it says. Right? Yeah, Etzim means complete bitl. That's what it means.
But it's still
Your Etzim is Hashem. That's the word. Your Etzim is godliness. And although he's showing that I'm completely one with you. Yeah. Now we know in Chassidus, before we get to the third level, in Chassidus it talks about different revelations of Hashem, called Mamalikal Amin and Sovikal Amin, right? So we said before, Hashem keeps the world alive. But in other words, different levels of Hashem's manifestation. We know in order to create a world, Hashem had to go through the thing of Tzimtzum, right? So Tzimtzum means that Hashem's presence in the world. We don't see it, but Hashem's presence in the world, but it's a type of revelation of Hashem where he holds back his infinity. He holds back his real presence to give room for what he wanted there to be, which is a world that looks like a world, right? That looks like an independent existence. Then there's a high level called Soviv Kalalmi, which is the transcendence of Hashem, the infinity of Hashem, right? If that were to be properly revealed in the world, then that would be, the world couldn't exist. In other words, at that level, you can't give room for a world, you have to negate the world completely. Right? At that world, the world, at that level, if that were to be revealed to us, then that's why we, in this world, we can only relate somehow to what we call the Malek Olamin. Because Soiviv Kolalmin, what the transcendence of Hashem, the infinity of Hashem, is hidden from us, because if it would be revealed to us, then we wouldn't be able to exist really. Right? But on some level, that's the difference between the weekday and Shabbos. The weekday is like Hashem's creative forces in the world. So we surrender to it, we serve Hashem, and we show our surrender and bittul to Hashem. Shabbos is a greater revelation of Hashem. So what do we do on Shabbos? It's Soviv Kolalmi. So Shabbos, the bittul that's required. If we really felt the Shabbos, we'd have even a greater level of bittul. A bittul of like, I'm told you nothing. Like the guy in front of the king that he can't even move. So that's the difference between Rosh Hashanah regularly and Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Now, both bittles are upgraded on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a very deep bittle on any level. It's a very deep surrender, right? But when Rosh Hashanah is on a weekday, we have to show complete bittle. But we have to show it through an action. We make ourselves bottle. Right? When Rosh Hashanah comes on a Shabbos, it's a deeper bittle. We reach such a level of bittul that we give ourselves over to Hashem, it's like we're standing in front of the king. That we can't even blow shofar. Can't even blow shofar. Because if I blow shofar, it's me blowing shofar at the end of the day. I am showing a level of bittul. That's not good enough in Shabbos or Rosh Hashanah. It has to be a bittul that I'm not even doing a, I'm told so bottle. And I'm not even showing a level of bittul. I'm not even blowing shofar. Understand? Now let's go to the third level. This is very deep, okay? So how come they blew shofar Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there's even a deeper level of bittul. Let me give you the following analogy. The Alter Rebbe brings this somewhere in Tanya. You know, I'm just thinking the clearest way to bring this out. Give me 1 second. When Hashem reveals his Tzimtzum sort of revelation, the world of Malkul Amin, that gives room for a world. A world that exists that has to become bottles. That's like the shofar concept. Hashem reveals a higher level of his revelation, then it's like the bittul of not blowing shofar. It's like the Shabbos. My bittul is that actually I'm nothing, so I'm not even going to show that I'm bottle, right? But the essence of Hashem is not finite and not infinite. The essence of Hashem is above existence and non-existence. It's above everything. In other words, when you get to the deepest level of connection with Hashem, the bittul is so great that you don't even have to negate yourself. In other words, you can blow shofar, not blow shofar, it's the same thing. Because at that point, the action is not you. It's not you altogether. At that action, at that point, you don't begin. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got to that unbelievable level of bittul, it didn't make a difference what he did and didn't do. Because it's all, it's not that you have to, it's not something becoming bottle, it's not something becoming bottle, it's not giving room for an existence, it's not negating the existence, it's just Hashem. Because Hashem in His essence is trans, right? So in other words like this, in the Beis HaMikdash there was such a level of bittul that even blowing shofar wasn't a problem. Normally when we say that we do an action of bittul, so the action means there's me and there's the action. When you get to the deepest level of bittul, it's not even you. There's not you, and there's not even a negated you, because negated you means also there's something to negate. When you get to the deepest level, there's just Hashem. So Hashem wants to blow shofar, blow shofar. I'll give you a nice muscle to understand this. My father-in-law always used to mention this muscle. I just had a shiur from Rabbi Yochanan on the sikh also. He mentioned this muscle also, right? If you have a king, right? The king's wearing a crown. This is the moshul they say. This is like typical Hasidus moshul, right? And he wants to rest. Let's look at this. He wants to take off his crown. He wants to put his crown somewhere, right? So he could put it in two places. There's a soldier standing there. He could put it on the soldier's head. Or you can put it on a hook on the wall. Where do you think the king is going to put his crown? Huh? On the hook, of course. Why? Because let's say, even if the soldier is completely dedicated to the king, and he wouldn't move without the king, but he's still a person. So the king's crown on that person, the person that, you know... could have a thought, like, you know, could cross his mind, oh, you know, I'm worthy of the king's crown, right? And that would be a complete, would be terrible, such a thing, right? So why is the hook any better? The hook's lower than the person. That's the point. The hook doesn't have feelings. He isn't bottled to the king. He's not bottled to the king. He has no connection to the king. He happens to be a hook in the king's house, that's all, right? So putting, right? See, it was like the furniture. He's the king's. The king has a house. The king has furniture. The king has hooks. The king has whatever, right? Nothing of the furniture and the hooks, anything is nothing about them is anything that could somehow contradict the existence of the king on any level. Just a hook. That's the level of shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. That on a regular Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar as an act of bittul, which means there's us and we become bittul. Shabbos, our avoda is to become more bittul than that we have to stand in front of the king and not even do anything, not even bow down, not even blow shofar. So there shouldn't be us altogether. But there's enough us that we have to make bittul, in other words, there's an us that we have to completely negate. Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, even on Shabbos, is a hook on the wall. That's not bottle. Look at all. There's nothing to negate. There's no person there that I'm worried he might do. So you can blow shofar. Shofar is not a problem. Says the Rebbe at the end of the Sikha, this is so typical of the Rebbe, after this unbelievably revolutionary Sikha that explains Shabbos not blowing shofar on a much deeper level, on a whole different level, I was ever explaining Chassidus. Says the Rebbe, listen to... Oh, I don't have with me. Says the Rebbe like this. Two things. First of all, that Beis HaMikdash concept of shofar we have today also. It's not like it's absent. So we have Shabbos, we don't blow shofar, that's one thing. But then you notice, interesting thing, although we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, but we say the psukim of shofar. We still say the blessing of shofar, the verse of shofar. Why? Because that's Torah. When we connect to Torah... It's even higher than Shabbos. When we connect to Torah, it says after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, where can you find Hashem? The way he was found in the Beis HaMikdash, in Torah. So therefore, we can on Shabbos we don't blow shofar, because it's a second level of bittul, so we can't do an act of bittul. We have to just not do bittul. We have to not blow shofar. That's the avoid, not blowing shofar. But when we take it even deeper and we say the psukim of shofar. Psukim of shofar, we do mention shofar. That's because when we say the psukim of shofar, we now graduated from Shabbos and entering into the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. So there at least we talk about the shofar, accomplishing the same sort of thing that they accomplish in the Beis HaMikdash when they blow shofar. Right? That's one thing. Second thing the Rebbe says at the end of the Sicha, he says, everything you learn in Torah is a lesson how you serve Hashem. Right? He says, so what's the lesson of this? That we have to try and serve Hashem like the highest level of bittul. Now, the Rebbe was a big realist. He knew exactly who his customers were, right? But this is the point I started off with. We learn this because there is a mindset that we can build, even at the highest level of bittul. The mindset is, and in a way, maybe the Rebbe spoke about this because this was very much the Rebbe's leadership. Like, there's a job to be done. It's not about you, just get it done. Use all that you have, use your talents, your skills, everything. But it has to be done, you do it, right? Which that mindset actually gave room, I think, to the whole idea of shlichus, right? Like, they've been learning about bittul for generations, but the Rebbe introduced something very new. You take people that, like, you know, could have taught in yeshivas, could have done lots of things, they send them to who knows where, to Timbuktu, right? And you should know that the previous generation had a hard time with it. Right? There were big chassidim that when the Rebbe took their kids and sent them off to who knows where, they had a hard time with it. It's a fact. Right? They came around because the Rebbe broke through this barrier. But the Rebbe introduced philosophically at least this concept that you've got to do what Hashem wants from you, because really, if you have built up a mindset, it's not about you anyways. It's not about you altogether. It's about Hashem's mission. You got to use the you. You got to use the whole of you, what Hashem ever gave you, because it's all Hashem given, right? It's all God given. So there is a mindset, even in the Beis HaMikdash bittul, which at least has to be a mindset, where at least you have to talk about it. Obviously, I don't know if we'll get to that level of, even the first level of bittul, but in our feeling, but at least in our mind, there's those three levels of bittul. So, going back to the original question, it's all very nice that Shabbos brings oineg, but where's our avoida? And the answer is, no, you can only make Hashem king through the avoida. And the avoida is the avoida of bittul. And on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos which induces a sort of level of oineg, the bittul is even greater. So you have the level of bittul you have to show on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah is even greater than the bittul you have to show with normal blowing shofar, and that's why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, which is Rosh Hashanah.
Which is the negation?
The negation part.
Yeah. Level 2.
Level two. And then we taste the level 3 by saying the psukim of shofar.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then you blow the shofar on the second day.
Oh, so there's a sikh. That's an interesting thing that you said. There's a sikh of the Rebbe that he once spoke, a different sikh of it, when it was such a thing about Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. And, you know, each time you speak about, you highlight the things that are through that time, right? So he spoke once a second Rosh Hashanah, that after all that we say, which now even becomes, that sikh I'm about to mention was way before the sikh. But learning the sikh, that sikh becomes even more relevant, right? He asked the question, after all the explanations of chassidus about how you don't need chai for Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbos. So then, how comes in the second day, right? It's almost like a descent, right? In other words, especially going to this sikh, we said Shabbos is a high level of bittul, it's even higher than blowing shofar, and all of a sudden the second day we blow shofar. So the point that I made there, at the end of everything, there's nothing like doing a mitzvah. Nothing like doing a mitzvah. And that's the second day. Okay, that's the second day, that's a different thing. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. Okay, that's a different... Correct, but I'm saying, but philosophically, how does it work now? We delve deeper into a deeper level of bittul about not blowing shofar. That's the avoid there. Now suddenly second day you tell me I must blow shofar. How does that fit with the whole thing, right? Okay, so it's a different thing. At the end of the day, a mitzvah is a mitzvah.
Sure.
All right.